Good evening. My name is Denise, and I'm an alcoholic. And this is probably the first time this week that I really don't know what to say. He's got a lot of ground to cover, and so I'm going to be short and sweet. And, you know, we like to say it over at the Way Group, let the gym show begin. Jim McCormick.
My name's Jim. I'm an alcoholic. It's really nice to be here. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And if it isn't, keep on asking for it. It will be merry for you. Where did I come from? 52 years today, I was drunk. So where did I come from? I don't know where I came. I don't even know where I was at the time when I was drinking. I used to end up in spots, as they said. This guy from Roswell used to say that. He said that he was from Connecticut, and he would say, I used to end up in spots like Hartford and Danbury and Middletown and Newton, and there are little towns in Connecticut. Spots. Nobody gets my jokes anymore. I don't know. But anyway, I thank God that I'm here tonight. It's special for me to come over here. I remember being part of starting this building here probably close to 20, 25 years ago. At least. And boy, it's nothing like it is today. And it's certainly grown. And that's the beautiful thing, you know. You hear a lot of people say things about How Place. They don't know what they're talking about. How Place does the things it should do. Shares with the suffering alcoholic on how to get into recovery. I learned that many years ago. You know, I used to tell my sponsor and his sponsor, man, I'm sober and that's it. It's all about not drinking. That's the greatest thing in the world that happened to me. And my sponsor said, Jim, sober is only not drinking. Recovery is getting the steps and the 12 traditions into your life through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the literature. And I said, oh, that's good. You know, I never thought of that. There's a lot of things I never thought of. I was 25 years old. When I walked into, I don't know if I walked into it or not, I was brought to my first AA meeting in Graymore, New York, December 14th, 1964. So I believe I'm a miracle, and the other thing I believe, each and every one of you are miracles too. And if you don't believe that, start believing it, and you'll see that your life starts changing. If your life's not going the way that you'd like it to go, pick up the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But first, I'd suggest that you get a sponsor, because I see people that are trying to work this program without a sponsor, and they struggle like hell. I struggled myself. I didn't have a sponsor for a while, and I'll get into that in a little while, what happens. See, my idea was that it was all about not drinking, and that was great. Let me tell you, it really helped me tremendously. During my drinking careers, I had a lot of problems. I was very violent, very physical. Fights, guns, it wouldn't matter, smash cars up, wreck motorcycles, get in fights. That was like not quite a daily thing, but it was a weekend thing. And then I used to visit the hospital a lot, and not to be kind to anybody, but to get stitched up or whatever it might be. And I just got sick and tired of that one day. My brother-in-law was working on a car, and he said, I'd like you to come home early so you can help me with the car. It's this guy down the street, Jack is his name. And, see, I'll need your help. And I said, yeah, no problem. Now, I'm still drinking. This is in September of 64. And so I'll be home. And I came home a little later than usual. It was probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So I went to bed, and he woke me up. I never forget this. As a matter of fact, I thought of this today. He woke me up and shook me, and I went like this. I had more hair then, and I went, oh, my God, my damn hair hurts. Not my head, my hair hurts. And then I went out and helped my brother-in-law, and this guy, Jack, was there. And Jack said, your hair hurts. He says, yeah. He said, boy, I've had my head hurt a lot. I used to be something like you. And I said, yeah, right. How old are you, Jack? He says, I'm 32. And I said, oh, shit. To myself, I said, I'm only 25. I got 7 more years to go. And then Jack said, how old do you say you are? I said, 25. And he says, you'll never last another 7 years. And that got me thinking. So once I heard of it, Jack was in AA, by the way. He was in AA 90 days. And all he did was he ran wild. And what I mean by wild, he'd help anybody and everybody. When I called Jack, or my sister Joan called Jack, we don't know to this day who called Jack to come up and talk to me, he was eating supper. And he said, I'll be right up, I've been waiting for you. And I'm saying, what the hell's he talking about waiting for me? I only met him the other day when I was working on this. This is what I'm saying to myself, thinking what's going on. It was a Monday. Today's 60 in 1964, from what I gather in my quick mind here, it was a Thursday. So I had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Saturday night was the last drink I had. But I want to finish the story with Jack. Jack came right up. And he said, how you doing? I'm doing fine. I forgot to tell you I was facing 3 to 5 because I put a gun in my wife's head in a blackout. I never forget that. I hope I never forget it. And that woman went through the Al-Anon program. And we've been married over 57 years, one day at a time. So there's this program, there's miracles that happen. That's why I say I see miracles here. And I hope that you see that, because they told me I have to change my way of looking at things. I had to change my way of thinking. But in my day, all they told us was, go to meetings, don't drink, and go to meetings and call your sponsor. And for years I did that. So anyway, back to Jack. Jack says, I don't know what to do, Jim. He says, but I'll take you to this guy that helps me. And we went over to Beacon, New York, and there was this guy, huge man he was, big guy, probably about this wide and about this tall, and he had a heart of gold. He was so kind. And he said to me, kid, how you doing? I said, I'm doing all right. Do you drink anything? And I said, yeah, I drink cocoa. And he says, cocoa? He says, cocoa didn't get you in the jam you're in. And I said, no, you're right. I said, I usually just drink beer. I go a little crazy drinking alcohol. And he says, oh, well, maybe we can help you. He says, I'd like to take you down to Graymore, New York. And that's where the Graymore comes in. I went down there with them. And Jack sat on one side, Norris sat on the other. They put me in the middle. They were afraid I was going to bolt out of there. And as the meeting went on, I listened to the leader. He got up there and he started talking. He was louder than me. And I'm going, man alive, boy, this guy's got a big mouth. You know, listen to him. And I'm knocking the hell out of him. And then they said, we got Sully from Long Island. And this guy walks up, Sully, and Sully's nose was over by his right ear. He had ball marks on his face where somebody beat the hell out of him at one time. And Sully got up and started telling his story. And I'm going, everything Sully's saying, I'm identifying with. See, that's what they told me to do. Jim, don't compare, but identify with the speakers. And I'm telling you, I was shocked to hear what Sully had to say. Where he wasn't married. At that time, I was married, but not living with my wife. But he was going to jail, and I was on my way. And couldn't see my wife or kids because of the way I acted towards him when I drank. And I don't blame her at all. Let me tell you, I put her through hell, and I'm still trying to make up for it one day at a time. It just takes a little time, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But it will get better, and it does get better. So anyway, I sat there and I started shaking. I never forget this. And my hands are shaking. I felt my body trembling. And I leaned over to Jack and I said, hey, Jack, I'm shaking apart here. And he said, Jim, sit on your hands. Sit on my hands? Yeah. I listened to what he said and I put one hand on one cheek, the other, and I calmed down. I said, wow, Jack will be the guy that I'll ask to be the sponsor thing, whatever it is, because he knows a little bit about not shaking. And Jack knew a little bit about how to live the correct way also. So anyway, we get in the car, we go back. The other thing, I didn't drink wine. I drank, like I said, mostly beer and every now and then liquor. If I drank liquor, I went crazy. I'd grab guns, fights, it wouldn't matter. I threw hammers at guys. I punched guys in the mouth that were my friends. I tried to stab a guy one time. He's one of my buddies. Just crazy as hell what I did. But this time, We got in the car, and as we're driving up, Jack says, "How'd you like the meet?" And I said, "Yeah, I liked it. I really thought they told Sully that I was coming, you know." They call that an ego, you know. You think you know what's going on, you don't know nothing. And anyway, Jack said, I said to Jack, "Well, I'll see you next week." He says, "No, you won't. You'll see me tomorrow. You call me tonight, tomorrow night when you get home from work, and then we're going to go to a meeting." And I said, "Another one?" He said, "Yeah, yeah, another one." So I was a little itchy for quite a while, and they picked that right up, you know. Just one thing I'd like to say, it's much different the way it is today. You see, at 7:55, they would say, "Get your coffee and sit down. Go to the bathroom, because you're not going when the speaker's speaking." And I'd say, well, why not? Why not? You have respect. And that's something that I learned, and I thank God for that. That not only do I have a respect for each and everybody here, I watch my language, you know. They told me don't talk at meetings at one time. You're saying things you shouldn't be saying. You know, I could curse like a... I was a Marine, so I'll curse like a Marine. And that's not... That's it. That's barroom talk. That's what they used to say. "Jim, barroom talk. You shut up." "Well, wait a second. I'm a drug addict." I don't give a shit if you're a drug addict or not. This is Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the way it went, folks. Because I don't know about you, but I can escape to anything else by saying, "I'm a diabetic." I'll get on the diabetic bandwagon here and then find out that, geez, I'll even feel sorry for myself. "Oh, geez, I got glaucoma. I can't even see good." Well, I think I'll get on that bandwagon. That's a lot of crap for the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're here to recover from alcoholism. There's other places for the drugs, the sex, the overeaters, and what have you. And that's the way it was. And it's too bad it's not like that now, because I think you'd have more success, the individual, rather than get wrapped up on this, on that, and on the other thing. I'm a real alcoholic. I found that out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Back to Jack and Norris, my friend Norris. For years we traveled, and it wasn't like Howe Place here. We didn't have, up in New York, unless you went down a city, you didn't have places like this. You had a meeting in Peekskill, and then you had one in Fishkill, 35, 40 miles away. Poughkeepsie, 55 miles. "Oh, where are we going tonight?" New Britain, Connecticut, or New Britain, Massachusetts, whatever. "What, way over there?" "Yeah, yeah." So we had a meeting going, we had a meeting there, and we had a meeting coming home. So the AA program got grounded into my head, and I thank God for that. After about 6 months or maybe a little longer, I started meeting with my wife, and my wife decided that it's time that I go back. We go back together. We had two kids. The restriction order for me was I couldn't come in within 500 feet of her. I don't know, maybe you might have had that experience. And it was hell for me. I didn't listen to that either, and they'd call the cops, and I'd have to get out of there before the cops come, because they'd lock me up. And if I got locked up, I was a nightmare. So thank God it didn't work out where I got locked up again. So my wife said to me, she said, "I see a change in you, and I'll take you back." And I said to myself, "Who the hell does she think she is? She's taking me back. God almighty, you know. After all, it's me. You know, the changed Jim, you know. All I'm doing is not drinking," because we didn't have this stuff on the walls. You didn't sit at the meeting and stare at this and try to figure out what's going on, or stare at the traditions, or somebody say, "Pick up the big book and read it." I think they told me once or twice, "Why don't you get a big book?" "I don't like to read." That's good enough reason, ain't it? So I listen to people, and I love listening to people's stories, especially their recovery part. And at that time, what I would do, I would listen to what you said, and then I would, as I leave, I'd say, "I think they meant this." And then as I got outside, I knew they meant this, because they fit it to me. It was a lie. I didn't realize that I lied so much, you know, till I got into the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So anyway, We're going to meetings all over the place. And I'm telling you, it was, even though it was, I wasn't into the book or into the steps, it was a great part of my recovery, because without that, I wouldn't be here. And this is what happened. Jack said to me, "You know Father Gordon? Father Gordon?" I said, "No." He says, "You know the guy with the motorcycle?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, Gordon. Yeah, he's a priest." "Oh, and you're Catholic, aren't you?" "Oh, yeah, but I don't go to church or nothing, you know. I feel like a weasel out of this one, too." And he said, "Here's what I'm going to tell you, Jim. If you don't talk to Father Gordon or somebody, dump this crap that's on your mind, in your heart and soul, you're going to get drunk again." And I said, "Holy cow, I don't want to get drunk again." So I collared Father Gordon at a meeting in Paterson, New York. I said, "Father, I'd like to talk to you after the meeting." He said, "Sure, no problem." We went downstairs, he got in his car, he put his priest stuff on. He listened to my confession. It was the first time in years, and he said after we finished, he gave me a penance to do. That's the way Catholics do it. And he said, "Jim, I'm telling you, if this was 1962, I'd have to excommunicate you for the things you did. But thank God it's 1965 now, and we have a different way of looking at things." And he told me, and I believe him to this day, that God forgives me. God forgave me then, and God forgives me now. I'm reading a lot of stuff about the God of my understanding, and it says he's very merciful. So I'm saying to Jim, "Jim, go to God. No matter what. I'm still a sinner. But my life changes when I do that. I get out of myself. I get out of my mind. And I put different thoughts and different things into my mind that seem to carry me through the day." So anyway, Father Gordon, we had our peace. That was it. And that was my fourth step. So when Jack said to me, "Did you ever do a fourth step?" "I did one with Father Gordon." "Well, the book says do it out of this book of Alcoholics Anonymous." "Well, I'm not reading it. I don't even know what the hell he's talking about, you know. But I know that I was free from that confession that I made, and I thank God for that. Because, again, that held me and kept me there. Now I'm like 26, 27 years old. Hey, 20 minutes later, you know, hey, it's all about drinking, ain't it? Stop drinking. But I didn't hear that it's your thinking. And I started thinking, you know, I got a job, still got a job. And if I can get up to Fishkill and go around this corner, there's a gin mill. They called it Moog's Farm. And I'd never in it. I was in the other dumps on the way up, but this one here I wasn't in. And I said to Jack one day, I said, "Jack, I'm thinking of a drink." He says, "I thought you were." He says, "You're acting funny." I said, "I think I'll stop and have a drink." And Jack said this to me. He said, "Jim, you can go have a drink if you want. But I'll be damned if Jack said, I am not going to have one with you." And that impressed me, because Jack drank just like I did. Jack was just as crazy as I was. Jack's wife kicked him out of the house a dozen times. My wife kicked me out a couple times, and then the judge told me to get out a couple times too. See, things got worse. Things got in the progressive stage of alcoholism, which to me is a downhill run in my life, you know. I'm yet to hear anybody say that they had so much fun with it, you know. "Oh, I had a lot of fun with alcohol." "Oh, yeah? Where's your license?" "Oh, well, it was the cop's fault." "Oh, huh. Your family still with you?" "Well, she don't understand." That's what I always used to say. "My wife don't understand, you know. I treat my wife like a queen, man. I give her my paycheck." That's another line that I used to say. "I wouldn't give my wife diddly. What, are you kidding me? She can get it and support the kids and do this, do that." See, I was a real snake in the grass, a real low-life piece of crap. And that's just what I thought of myself. My heart's broken because my wife wouldn't stay with me. My heart is broken. But as I said, she decided to take me back. I said to Jack, "Who does she think she is?" And Jack says, "You got things wrong, buddy. Who do you think you are?" And I said, "What do you mean, Jack?" He says, "Think for a minute. God gave you the power, the grace of changing your life, and your wife sees that where you can build a relationship with your wife." I never saw that. I never thought of it because I always think in the gym. You know, after all, I haven't drank for a year and a half or whatever the hell it was, 6 months. You know, I. And then things go on. We got together again, almost like happy, joyous, and free, except I'm not getting this anger out of me. I'm not doing the steps. All I'm doing is not drinking and going to meet and calling my sponsor. And then they said to me, we're going to go into the prisons. Oh, no, I ain't going into no prison. Yeah. You're going to go into prison. So we go into this place. If anybody's from New York, they might know it. The Mad Bomber's up there. That's a guy that blew up Con Edison. He's crazy. And we're going in there. Whoa, I don't think so. Yeah, I think so. Because Jack said to go in, I'm going in with Jack. And, man, I'm telling you, you talk about shaking again. I was sweating. I was shaking going in there. The damn cell doors behind you get closed, the doors as you go into the room. And then there's the people. They're whacked out, could be. They got them on all the drugs to calm them down. And I one night there, they asked, Jack said, you say something. Speak a little bit. And I'm nervous as hell. And I say whatever I said. And then I look out in the audience like this. I go like this. Damn it, there's a guy sleeping. Jack says, maybe you put the guy to sleep. But Jack said this. He said, Jim, see, always a different way of looking at it. He said, Jim, maybe the guy was tired. Oh, right. Then he also said, you see the empty seat next to him? Yeah, that's waiting for you. Because you'll be there if you pick a drink up. I said, boy, thank God. And that's what Jack taught me that. Say thank God. Thank God it ain't happened to me. You know? Because when it happens, all the crap that I did, I'll do worse if there is a next time. And by coming to AA meetings and getting the steps into my life, getting a sponsor, getting a group. By the way, the best group in Alcoholics Anonymous is the WAY group. We meet at 11 o'clock over at the United Methodist Church. I have a recruiting piece of paper if you'd like to join it. But anyway, one day, and this is a experience of mine. We're going to Green Haven State Prison. And I said, Green Haven. Now, this is years later, so I wasn't too shook up. And he says, yeah, we're going to go in. This had to be about 81 or 82. And my back is all screwed up, and I got a back brace on. And you have to walk through about three or four detectors before you get in there because they don't trust the first, the one behind you or the three in front of you, you know. And each time I went through the damn thing, ding, 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 ding. And I said to the guard, look, I got a back brace on. It's got metal. Well, that should be all right. But another guy says, oh, no, take it off. Take this damn thing off. And then I heard, be a service to the men in there. Take it off without complaining. I'm going to say I don't think I complained. I probably did, but I don't think so. And I took it off, walked through, ding, ding, didn't go off anymore. They let us in, put my brace on, we go in. It's about 40 guys in there. I don't know if any of you has ever been inside of a maximum security, machine guns up on the top of the towers. This ain't no toy in here. This is no hotel. And as I see these guys here, I look around, you know, and I don't know anybody. This guy walks up to me, taps me on the shoulder, says, you're Jimbo, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, I'm Henry. I'm getting goose pimples every time I share this story. I'm going to tell you what Henry told me. He said, hey, Jimbo, did I kill that guy? See, that was almost me when I put the gun to my wife's head, but the grace of God stopped, and I thank God for that. And I said, Henry, all I could tell you is what I read in the newspaper. I said, the newspaper said that you were under the influence. He says, man, I was shooting. I was so high, I don't even remember. He was shooting and drinking. This guy was an all-state football player. Wonderful man. Hell of a nice guy. Young man. They said you grabbed him from the bar, flipped him over the damn bar. That's nothing. I've done that myself. But God, by the grace of God, I didn't take somebody outside and kill him. And I said, Henry, they said you bashed his head into the floor and killed him. That's all I know, Henry. And poor Henry was just, damn, I don't remember. See, that's what alcohol and drugs do. And with me, just the alcohol did that. So every time I'd go back up to Peekskill, I'd ask, how's my friend Henry doing? And my friends would, the guys I would meet in a restaurant would say, he's doing all right. Then about 5 years later, I went up again. I said, how's my friend Henry doing? And they said, hey, he's still there. Then we'll say another couple years, I went up and I said to this guy, I said, hey, buddy, how's Henry doing? He got out. Oh, man, I almost cried. I said, he got out? And then he said, yeah, he got out in a pine box. I don't think the guy was 35, 40 years old at the time. He was in there for probably 25 years. Don't remember, you know. So you think I might be an alcoholic because now I don't remember? You know, you bet your ass. There's more to it, and even less than that, you can be an alcoholic. If you drink and end up in spots, think of things like that, like I was sharing with you, you know. So for 21 years, I read the book a little bit now and I study it. It talks about resentments. I never heard the word in my life. I heard it being pissed off, being angry, and so on, but never resentment. And I'm riding down to go to a meeting with my friend Jack, my sponsor. And I said, Jack, you know, I heard this guy say something about that R word that they were talking about last night. So I'm not reading the book. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. He says, oh, resentment. Yeah. Why? I said, that really caught my ear. I never heard that in my life. He says, stick around, Jim. You'll be surprised what you're going to hear. You're going to hear things that are going to help you one day at a time to get a decent life. Yeah, is my wife going to take me back? You know, am I going to lose my job? When am I going to get my license back? And he said, I don't know. I don't know if any of that's going to happen. But I'll tell you what AA will do for you. AA will give you the courage to face whatever happens. And that day came when my wife, as I said earlier, my wife said she'll take me back. And Jack straightened me out. And he says, you bet your life she's taking you back, and you should thank God for that. But what you did to that poor woman, and she forgave you already, here it is only 6 months or a year or whatever we were apart. And so we got together, we found apartments. We had two kids at the time. Number three came, little boy. Today he's about 6'4", about 260. And how's things happen? 14 grandchildren, 4 great-grandsons. Your granddaughter on her way. They did that sonogram thing. See, it's a little girl. I don't know how happier you can get and how grateful that I am. And I'll tell you how the only way that I became grateful. I wasn't going to meetings because after a while, Jack told me to give my mop up. Many of you know my mop story. I had a mop for 15 years. I mopped the damn floor. And towards the end, I was getting even ticked off mopping the floor. After all, I haven't drank in 15 years. Somebody else should do it, but I ain't going to give my mop up. And then Jack tells me, Jack, see Eddie? Yeah, he's the new guy. Give him your mop. Give him my mop. My mop? Yeah, your mop. Give him your mop. I've been doing this for 15 years. I don't give a damn how long you've been doing it for. Give him the mop. Now, this is what Jim thinks. Who the hell's Jack? You know, Jack just saved my life. Well, who's Jack? You know, who's? He's Mr. AA. That's what he, and I'm saying this to myself. I don't have the guts to say it to Jack. Probably if I did, Jack would have straightened me out sooner. But anyway, I gave Eddie the mop. And I says, Eddie, Jack said, not that I want to give my mop up. Jack said, here's the mop. He said, oh, thanks a lot. He started mopping along. And I am pissed. So my wife's down at an Al-Anon meeting. She comes up and my wife reads me like a book. What's going on? What's going on? I'll tell you in the car. did I get a little loud? You know, she looks at me like this. We get in the car, man. I'd let her have it. You know, there's my poor wife again taking the verbal abuse from the know-it-all. Who the hell does Jack think he is? He told me to give up my mop. Well, did you? Well, yeah, but I didn't want to give it up. And Jack kept on saying, pass it on. Pass it on. And I'm saying, pass it on my neck. I love my mop. So as I'm going home, I'm sucking my thumb, wetting my pants, you know, like a little two-year-old kid. And my wife's saying, Jim, you better watch it. You're in trouble. I said, I ain't in trouble, damn it. It's all about drinking. I'm not drinking. I'll never pick a drink up in my life. And screw Jack, I'm not going back to the Beacon Fish Girl group that I've been going to 15 years. Maybe they won't miss you, Jim. My wife says that. Don't piss me off. I'm angry enough as it is. I haven't handled anger. I don't know how to handle anger. They all waved. I just blew it out. Let's let it go. Don't care if I hurt my wife's feelings or not. Wasn't even listening to what she was saying. That's how angry I was. And I did just what I said. I'm a man of my word. I fixed Jack. Jack came down and said, why don't you come to meetings? No, I got a lot of things to do. I didn't tell him the truth. I became that liar again. That's without drinking, folks. 15 years without drinking. And then the thought came. I got a $25,000 insurance policy on me that I think is about $1.5 million. So my thinking starts. $25,000. That should last 3 months. And I'll jump off the Bear Mountain Bridge. So now to get the thought, here's how you put it into action. Go up to the Bear Mountain Bridge. I go up to the Bear Mountain Bridge, and I look at the bridge, and I, holy jeez. Uncle Herbie had cancer, and he jumped off. Just recently, two or three other people jumped off. Only one lived. The other two they found floating down like Uncle Herbie. So I knew it would kill. And then I said, supposing it doesn't, and I become an invalid, and my poor wife would have to take care of me. And then, you know, the poor chance. Oh, geez. I went home. And I said, boy, at least I looked at it and got scared hell. I went home, and we'll say in a day or two, a week, whatever it was, the phone rings, and it's this lady from church. And she says, Jim, you told me you're an alcoholic. Yep, alcoholic. My godson is a drug addict and alcoholic. Oh, I smoked one joint in my life. It did nothing. It did nothing. As a matter of fact, my cousin was the heroin addict in the town. I was drinking one night, and I said to him, his name was Jimmy also, and I said, Jim, I need some stuff. I don't get the feeling anymore from the drinking. And this is what a heroin addict said to me. Handle your drinking problem first, then screw around with the drugs. You don't want to mix them. That guy saved my life, too. He died, 69 years old, still shooting heroin. His life got so bad that he was naked one day going to the store, and a cop stopped him. This is how far down he went. And the cop said, hey, Jim, where are you going? He said, I'm going down to the store to get some groceries. He says, Jim, you didn't get dressed. Huh? Jim, you didn't get dressed. You're going in the cop car. And in our day, this is 50 years ago or more, come on, I'll take you home. And poor Jimmy went on through life shooting up. He went out to California to some rehab out there, and it worked for a while on him. And then he picked that first shot up. Couldn't get off of it. Well, that's almost similar to what I did without drinking, you know. There's a country and western song that I identify with. I can't think there's a duet that sings it. Whiskey something. Well, anyway, during there they talk about picking the gun. The gun is the bottle of whiskey. And if you ever watch this video, you'll see that it ends both of them, the wife and the husband, in the ground. And I don't believe that I'm put on this earth to do that right at this time for what was taught to me with Alcoholics Anonymous. So as I say with Jack and Norris, and it started that Jack's wife took him back, Norris's wife, they never separated. They were the older couple that I looked up to. Jack, I identified with a lot of his stuff that he did, and we became great friends. So Jack came down to this store. We had a little deli at the time, and sat down. He said to me, he says, you ought to get back to me. And I said, Jack, I'm fine. Did you ever ask an alcoholic, he's fine? He's nuts. That's the trouble. And Jack said that. He said, I don't think you're fine, Jimmy. Jack let me have it. I said, yeah. Now, as Jack's talking, I'm saying he's full of crap. He don't even know what the hell he's talking about. He's not living with me. He's not walking in my shoes. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So when I do that, I don't hear what he's saying. So Jack leaves. He says, I hope you get back to meetings. Okay, Jack. Up yours. Of course, I didn't say that. I only thought that. Bye, Jack. Bye. And then things get even worse. Starting more of the suicide thing. Arguing with my wife. Telling everybody what to do. And my wife's, I had this guy that, his name was Bill. He's passed on now. I sponsored him for about 10 or 15 years. And a hell of a nice guy. We became great friends. And this is what Bill said to me one day. He said, Jim, we're going to take a ride. Take a ride where? He said, we're going to take a ride down to Belmont, Long Island. Long Island? What the hell? I don't want to go down there. Yeah, you want to go down. 10 years ago, Jim, you said if I couldn't get cleared out of my heart and soul and my mind, if I couldn't get it through the AA program, I'd have to go to outside help. And I went, you remember? Oh, yeah, I did, Bill. It did you good, didn't it? Yeah, I'm taking you down to that same guy. And I said, oh, no. I can't afford it. It's $150, and this is, what, 30-some-odd years ago. I said, I don't have the money. He said, Kathy already gave me the money. We're going. And I said, I don't think so. I think I'm all right, Bill. He said, Jim, you're as crazy as hell. I don't know. All right. I'll get in the car anyway. And I got in. It was a van he had. I got in the van. I always look for an excuse. He said, put your seatbelt on. This is before you really needed seatbelts. And I said, I ain't putting that damn seatbelt on. He says, you're putting that seatbelt on. I knew he was serious. So I put the seatbelt on. And we went down to see this doctor. I think his name was Blackwell. And he's a psychiatrist. And prior to going in, you have to fill all the papers out, you know. Fill this, that, the other thing, the other. Big, long paper. It had to be that long, but it was probably that big. And you, yes or no answers, you know. Do you smoke? No. Do you drink? No. Do you do this? No. 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 Are you angry? Yes. Are you jealous? Yeah. Huh. Sounds familiar, don't I? Read that in the big book. They call them defects of character. And I'm going, oh, yeah, got that too. Oh, got this one. Look at this. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Then it came to the drinking thing. I let that in first. And I should have. It was near the end. And it said, do you drink alcohol? I put, no. He picked up on that. He says, how come you don't drink alcohol? Oh, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, that's why I'm here, you know. What the hell are you here for? You're so recovered, you know. And he said, why don't you go back to AA? And now here's the Jim, the intellect. Doctor, you don't understand. This guy's got more certificates on the wall than I got toilet paper home. You know what I mean? He's got certificates. He's this, he's that, and he's the other thing. And then he's trying to help somebody. And I said, you don't understand, Doc. See, AA threw me a rope, December 14th, 1964. I grabbed on that damn thing. Between the two of us, they pulled me up, in the grace of God, pulled me up out of the pit, the cesspool I was in, and showed me how to stay sober. And he said, oh, why don't you grab that same rope? Oh, no, you don't understand. The rope's got grease on it now. Do you ever grab a greasy rope? You hold on, you slide right down. What I put in my mind is what I'll live out. That's exactly what I thought, and I didn't know that at the time. He said, really? He said, you might be looking at it in a different way. I think that it'd be a good idea you stay with the psychiatric doctor or a counselor up in your area. He says, and you'll find the help that you need there. So this phone call comes in, and it's Joyce, a friend of ours. And that's when I told her I wasn't going to meetings, Joyce. And she says, well, my godson's got a drug and alcohol problem. And I said, well, If you can fit, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see how God worked in my life. See, God sent me Mike. I used to say, well, I took Mike to a meeting. And then somebody said, you ought to get your ego to hell out, Jim. If it wasn't for the grace of God sending Mike in your life, you'd be dead today. I said, holy jeez, I never looked at it. Never thought of that. Well, start thinking that. Thank God it's not like that. So Mike, we went to the meetings. And we went around. Mike was 21 years old. I didn't have a drink for 21 years old, and I was a know-it-all with the AA program. Never read the book, so really lying to myself, right? So we go to this meeting. They said, Wednesday is noon unity. And I went, nude unity? Nude unity? Did you hear me? Nude, I said. Not noon. Nude. I said, what the hell's AA turning into? That's my second joke. But anyway, it was noon unity, and it was a Wednesday, and you walked in. Crowd, maybe not this big. The center section was out, but all around, the tables were there. And you had to put your hand up. My name's Bill. Alcoholic. Belong to the Beacon Fish Girl group. That's my buddy Bill. And I haven't drank since 1964, 65, whatever it was. And then it went around. Then my turn. Boy, my hand went up. Jim, alcoholic. Belong to the Beacon Fish Girl group. Haven't been there in 4 years. Got a sponsor. Haven't talked to him in 4 or 5 years. I didn't say this. I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm lying. I'm lying to the people that I love. The people that saved my life, I'm lying to them. So the next, it bothered me. And the next week we went to meetings throughout the week. We used to go to tons of meetings down in New York. And the next Wednesday, the same thing. Same, different people. Man, alive, I wonder where the hell you all come from. You go, holy cow. My name's Bill, alcoholic, Beacon Fish Girl group. My name's Jim, alcoholic. I lied to you. I want to apologize. I'm sorry. I don't have a group and I don't have a sponsor. About 5 guys after the meeting came over to me. Said, you know how you get a group and you know how to get a sponsor? I can ask somebody. No, he said, don't do that. He said, you pray about it. Pray about it? Yeah. Do you pray? Well, I pray sometime. Pray a little harder and you'll be surprised what happens. The Noon Unity group became, I became a part of the Noon Unity group. And how I picked my sponsor was this guy, I see this guy walking in the door. And he's going to talk to his sponsor. And I said, boy, something about this guy. But I had 5 guys on my mind on who I'm going to pick for a sponsor. This was a week or two later. And finally this guy, Jeff, walks in. And I said, damn it, that's it. And I walked over to him, I said, Jeff, could you be my sponsor? And he said, aren't you the guy, you're the guy that has 21 years without a drink? I don't know, he says. And I said, Jeff, November I'm going to kill myself. He says, I'll help you the best way I can. And that's the man that's put me on the spiritual path, got me into the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, allowed me to have the steps that he took, showed me how he did it, and allowed that flow of grace of God to come into my life. You know, there's a lot of things that you hear in AA that's not true. Excuse me. No. I don't want to say you hear them in AA. You hear from people in AA. You know, you hear people say like this. Well, if you think I'm going back to church, you're full of crap. You know, well, I'm going to tell you something. I felt the same way and said the same things. And then I ate crow and pushed my pride aside, and I started going back to church. And I found my life changing more spiritual. And I'm going, holy mackerel, this is fantastic. You know, I found a way out of everything that I put myself in. I had a situation with my wife one time. And we used to call them problems. I try not to call them problems because problems weigh me down, you know. When I get a problem, I usually do something like this. You know, I got a problem. But when I got a situation, I can at least maybe look at it somewhat, you know. So I come over here, I talk to my sponsor, Dick, and I says, Dick, look, this is what's going on. Yeah, Dick just sits there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is what's going on, too. Yeah. Okay. Then I stop, and he says, and I hope I never forget this. Did you ever think that you're the sounding board for your wife? You have to be honest. I said, I never thought that. He said, maybe it's time you think that. In just that couple of minutes talking to Dick or another alcoholic, it changed the way that I look at things today. The steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are very simple. It says that in the book. It says that a number of times that we have a simple program. But I'll tell you one thing I love in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd like to share that with you. People send me, what page is it on? Pick the book up and you'll find it. And I mean that. I won't tell you what page it's on. My sponsor told me that. I used to say, hey Jeff, what page is it on? He says, read the book, you'll find it. Guess what? I found it. Hold on now. Damn it, I thought I had it in there. Oh, well. I'm gonna read you two things. I like this very much. This is a little statistics. It says this. For there have been two principal reasons the large number of recoveries is one, and the reunited homes is another. When I came in, my home wasn't reunited. So Jack said to me, Jim, you're living with your sister and brother-in-law and four kids. They're your family. I didn't look at it like that. Jim, you go to AA meetings. They're your family also. I didn't look at it like that. Today I look at it a little different. There are these made impressive impressions everywhere. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up with some relapse. And among those who stayed around, who stayed on with AA, showed improvement. Over thousands came to a few AA meetings and at first decided they didn't want the program. But a great number of those, about two-thirds is 66 and two-thirds of the people who didn't want it, are back with us. Boy, you know, you come out of these rehabs, I'm not knocking the rehab, I'll knock it on what they say. They say 10%, and that's not true. The book of Alcoholics Anonymous says 50% the first time, after a relapse or so, 66 and two-thirds percent of people get into recovery, not sobriety. Now, if I can find the other thing, and then I'll shut up here. Alcoholics Anonymous went on from Ebbie Thatcher and Bill Wilson. That's where God put those two together. And this is what Ebbie said to Bill. My friend promised, when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems. Belief in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain a new order of things that were the essential requirements. Simple, but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. I got a thing on my car. It says the big book says it. I believe it. That settles it. I don't have to argue about it. I just share my experience, strength, and hope with each and everybody that if you want what we have, it's very simple. Just do what we do. I don't know how simple you can get it. So it doesn't matter where you are in life, what circumstance, doesn't matter. Get that out of your head. That if you can get this into your head of the recovery process of Alcoholics Anonymous, you'll be successful one day at a time. So find that power greater than yourself. It's not lost. If you haven't found it, you're still lost. Keep on asking, even though you don't believe. Doesn't matter. Keep on asking. And God bless you. Thank you. Merry Christmas.